I'm going to share a few testimonies just to kind of, you know, it's important for us to share the testimony of the Lord. It's the spirit of prophecy. It encourages us. It creates an atmosphere of expectation. And one of the things that we value here is the testimony of the Lord. We value to hear what the Lord is doing. Sometimes walking through, you know, just going through our week, we can be so focused on other stuff, we just lose focus about what the Lord is doing. And being able to focus on that, and it encourages our faith. It creates a place of expectation. And so just to kind of piggyback on what we have been talking about answered prayer, one of the things that I've been experiencing the Father do is just answer prayers. Things not even just prayers, just things that I've been thinking about or things that I was needing encouragement in that I hadn't even brought to Him. One experience was I was praying and I was thinking about a person's name. I was trying to remember their name and I couldn't remember it. And so I was just like, all right, well, I can't even get this person's name out, so I'll just move along. And I get in my truck to go to work, and I put on a podcast, and about 10 minutes down the road, out of the blue, this podcast just starts mentioning that person's name. And it's the exact person I was trying to think about to do this. I wasn't even asking the Lord for this. And so the Father cares about those things that are in your heart. He knows what's in your heart, and if we'll have eyes to see, He will begin to show us answers to prayers, answers to things that are in our heart that we didn't even know was on His heart. Cast your cares upon the Lord; He cares for you, right? And He's encouraging your faith. He's wanting to build that history, build that testimony, so that in the time when you're really pressing through for an answer, you have that history built up. You have that testimony that the Father is a good Father that answers prayer. So it's very encouraging to me that He's answering prayer. The other one was just something I had heard. I felt like the Lord had told me that it would be a year of transition. And so I was just thinking about, okay, transitions that I have to make, transitions that are going to be in this, what are the transitions that applies to me in this year? And I was just kind of really thinking about it. And a lot of this stuff requires a lot of faith, would require a lot of faith just to kind of make those transitions. And as I was pondering those things, I had just signed up. I actually wasn't even signed up on this newsletter for this well-known prophet. And he sent out a newsletter like 2 days after I'd really heard this, or a day after I'd heard this. And he says, Prophetic Perspective, 2019, keyword transition. And so the Father is encouraging the faith that it would need to be, okay, He's in on this transition thing. He's in on these transitions that need to be made. And so He's answering prayer that my joy might be full so I don't lose strength in the process, right? I'm going to start here in this, and then they're just going to kind of talk about a few things about the joy of discovery and just talking about the Father. Matthew 13:44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath to buy that field. You know, one of the things that we get to experience as sons and daughters is the table of the Lord. Psalms 23 says, He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. It's an awesome place to be in warfare, at the table of the Lord. The enemy may be able to see you, but he can't access you when you're at the table. He may be able to see you partaking of all the joy and the peace and the love that the Father has, and that sense of victory and the encounter, but he can't access you at the table. And one of the things this week that I've just been experiencing, how many know we've been just experiencing just a great outpouring of His presence? How many have been enjoying that? That has just been amazing to me. We just that's encouraging to me. And one of the things that I've been becoming more aware of is the abundance of the Father. You know, sometimes we tend to look at the situations that are going in front of us from a perspective of, okay, I need this, I have this, or I don't have what it takes to get to this place. And so we're looking at it from a place of lack, but how many know that in the Father's house there is an abundance? And the Father has an abundant heart. He is so amazing. He is so good. There is no lack in heaven. There is no lack of resource. There is no lack of joy. There is no lack of glory. It is abundant and overflowing. Unto him who is exceeding abundantly able to do it more than we ask or think, to him be glory, right? That's the Father's abundance. Jesus lived with this. He demonstrated it on a day-to-day basis. And as children of God, we have that same privilege and responsibility to reveal the Father's heart, right? When confronted with the situation where he has upwards of 15,000 people that are hungry, I could just relate to that, right? When you just got like 30 people that are in and they're ready to go to lunch, you know, just could you imagine 15,000 people that haven't eaten in a couple days? His disciples said, look, we don't have anything. We need to send them off. And he says, feed them yourself. How can he say something like that when he understands that there's only a couple fishes, a couple loaves of bread? How can he say something like that to the disciples, giving them a charge to feed the need of the people? He had an awareness of the abundance of the Father. Jesus said that, I only do what I see the Father doing. I only say what I'm hearing the Father saying. His heart was so connected to the Father that even if they didn't have any fishes, there was going to be something done. There was going to be a demonstration. There was going to be a release because the Father said that there's enough for everybody. And more so, right? And so in this joy of discovery, one of the things that that I've been experiencing as well is that how many know that the truth is to be experienced? And so when Jesus gives you a promise, there is an intent that you encounter and experience that promise. He gave a promise to Abraham that his descendants would have this land, that he would have this inheritance. And then there came a time when Israel actually stepped into that promise. They experienced it. They encountered it. And so sometimes it's interesting to me when we're talking about the kingdom that we can be amening a truth that's being revealed that God heals or God delivers or God is good, but we don't step into the reality of that promise. Kind of what Pastor Mike was talking about. It's the seed that fell by the wayside where we don't come into an encounter or an experience with our senses that seed, that reality. But the Father has given us promises that he wants and a kingdom, that reality that we can actually taste and see. We can experience and it begins to shape the way we see things. To me, it kind of sounds like repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He would show the encounter of the Father's goodness in delivering a young person or somebody who needed healing and gave them the option to repent. When there's a demonstration of power, the options change. When there's a release of heaven, there's different options now. And so we got this charge and we got this responsibility, but also this privilege of being able to not only discover this kingdom that's priceless, but actually demonstrate it and reveal it and release it to the world. For the joy of discovery. There's a few scriptures that are just those things that I just kind of like. I like to just kind of think about them every once in a while and just... they come up quite often. One of them I hadn't thought about in a while, but it was Deuteronomy 29 and 29. It says, and I'm not going to read the whole scripture, but the secret things are the Lord, but those things that are revealed are for the children and for their children. And so Jesus would reveal the mystery of the kingdom to the disciples, to those that were in relationship with him, in a way that allowed them to see that the truth in that mystery. And they were able to partake in that same truth. And so if it's a mystery, that's the Lord's. But if it's something that's revealed, it belongs to us. And there's a responsibility that comes with truth. And there's also a privilege of being able to display that. So, for example, just some of the stuff that I've been experiencing with this. And I had to taste, right? I'm getting a taste of this thing, and I'm still in process. So please bear with me. I'm not speaking from a perspective of I got this settled or I got this, you know, already down. But I'm pursuing. But there was a taste of being able to see the Lord demonstrate power and healing to people outside of church, outside of these four walls, so to speak. And I got to tell you, I don't know how it affects everybody else, but even when I don't really feel like going out and praying for somebody, I find instant joy every time I pray for somebody. I don't know if it's just because it's hitting them and it's flowing through me, or if that's just the joy of discovering this reality. But I get joy every time I get to release the kingdom or being able to see somebody encountered with the Holy Spirit that just didn't even think that they would be prayed for. I can't tell you how many people this week where they would just, they're not even thinking about somebody praying for them or somebody caring about their need or somebody walking up to them and saying, you know, Jesus heals. I know you're suffering with this this wrist thing where you got some nerve damage, but the Lord heals. And then he just, wow, man, I just never even thought of somebody actually coming and praying for me. Just an encounter with his goodness. And so we have this charge from the Lord that he says those that believe they're gonna lay hands on the sick and they're gonna see them recover. That's a truth. And that's something that we get to actually take to our everyday life and demonstrate. And guess what? We don't have to go to seminar to do that. Praise God. It's an interesting little tale between, I believe it's in Luke, between Luke 9 and 10, where Jesus starts with the disciples and he takes 12. And he sends them out. And they begin to see major breakthrough, right? And then you start seeing some of the issues come up, like, you know, somebody else is praying that's not a part of their group and they want to rebuke them. Or somebody rejects them and they want to call down fire. And you're like, okay, that would just scare me. Like, oh gosh, Lord, how do we need deliverance first before we can go out. But then Jesus just goes back into the next chapter and says, okay, now let's do it with 70 people. You don't have to be perfect to start this thing. You don't have to have your theology all in order. You don't have to have all the things. If you need a starting point, Mark 16 says they will lay hands on the sick and see them recover. And if you're laying hands on people and you're not seeing them recover, that's okay too, because you just go back to the Lord and get more. Because sooner or later, that truth is going to prevail. Sooner or later, that breakthrough is going to come. Sooner or later, those seeds that have been planted are going to begin to break through the ground and sprout and begin to bear fruit and begin to multiply. And then you get to go through a pruning process, but then you get to have more fruit and more breakthrough and experience more of his goodness. It's the joy of discovery. Proverbs says, it's the glory of kings, it's the glory of God to conceal a thing, but it's the glory of kings to search it out. And I heard a really good analogy by Bill Johnson. You know, he says, you know, when you're Easter egg hunting, you don't hide for the two-year-olds, you know, or the one-year-old, you don't hide it, you know, in your pocket or so, you know, somewhere that they're not going to find it. You hide it on the step. And I just wonder how many times we're walking by these eggs, this truth, this reality of the kingdom, and there's an invitation going out in that place. I didn't come up with this, but I heard somebody doing it, and I was so encouraged because I think it helps with the culture of our hearts to be able to match his. Because how many know he's not just looking for a flash in the pan, he's looking for a culture, a connection. I went into Walmart, I was telling Pastor Mike about this, I went into Walmart and it looked, all the buggies were being used. I mean, I encountered 3 people on a buggy because they couldn't walk or they had leg problems, and I just had to stop a little bit and just be like, thank you, Lord, that you love me so much that you just set me up. I mean, this is low-hanging fruit. I mean, he pitched me the apples. I mean, he's just softball, like, you know, underhand. Come on, if you don't got a word of knowledge, this is what I'm doing. If you don't got a word of knowledge, then okay, fine. Go find the low-hanging fruit. Something I learned from Pastor Mike. I'm practicing the word of knowledge stuff, but until that, you know, I get that going, go for people in the buggies. But I had to thank him because really what that is the Father setting up an egg. He's setting up an encounter. He's setting up something that will begin to impact the region, the city. I just want to take 2 stories out of Acts and just kind of show you how a demonstration of power begins to impact the region, begins to impact the area. Acts 3. Forgive me, this will be a little bit of reading. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple in the hour of prayer. Being the 9th hour, a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. Those things that are revealed are the children's. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat before the for alms by the beautiful gate at the temple, and were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Now it goes on to say that there were more saved that day than there was in Acts 2. People started gathering because they saw this demonstration of power, and their hearts began to awaken, and they began to see, oh, this is the Son of God. This is real. It impacted this city. It impacted that region. One of the other ones that I really have been enjoying has been in Acts 9. I believe it's next. No, sorry, Acts 8. So this is right after the persecution where they killed, what's his name? Stephen. And they began to persecute the church in Jerusalem. Then Philip went down into the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto the things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. I love that. Just one of the meetings that just impacted me was a few weeks ago was Chuck Pierce, and he began to prophesy about the glory coming over the city. And ever since, I've been having this prayer, just, Lord, touch our hearts with this city. it didn't just say a few people got joy. It didn't just say there was a remnant who had joy. The entire city was so filled with joy. The entire city. I just wonder how much of an what it would take to get an open heaven over the region of Houston that anybody coming into the city's limits, depression couldn't stay on them. Thoughts of suicide had to lift. There was just so much joy that there was healing. That joy is a good medicine. There's healing linked with joy. That sickness and disease couldn't. Joy is a part of the kingdom. The joy of discovering something. And, you know, some of us, I don't know if some of us, but I think that sometimes we think that the scripture talks about being on a narrow road. But that narrow road leads us to the door, who's Jesus, who gives us access to the Father's heart. And the Father's heart is not a narrow road. It's an abundant kingdom that we get to explore and we get to encounter Him in and we get to see His glory. The abundant heart of the Father. To see dreams awakened. One of the things that has happened over this past couple days, and I just want to testify this because I think that it's happening to more of us than thinking, but we may not recognize it, is when you're connected to the Father, you're encountering the Father, I believe he awakens dreams. He awakens the ability to dream with Him. And you start thinking about stuff like this. I wouldn't have thought about that. Joy for a city. I wouldn't have thought about something like that. That's not something I would ponder. But then he starts awakening dreams that how you and how the community that's being built in this place are going to impact the places around you. An awareness of his abundant heart awakens our ability to dream. This joy of discovery. This is so exciting to me to be able to actually demonstrate the things that we talk about. He said that he gave it all for the joy. I think I'm done there. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you. Holy Spirit, we just ask you to come. Come with encounters. Father, I just ask that you release the Holy Spirit in a fresh new way, with fire, with the burning fire of your love for people, for us. Father, let it just consume all fear. Let it create within us the identity for courage, an identity for boldness. Father, we just ask right now that you would come and encounter us in a new way. Baptize us freshly with your fire. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm feeling my hands kind of burning.
Yeah, go.
So if there's anybody that needs healing right now, I just invite you to come. If it's emotional, if it's physical, if you know somebody that needs healing right now, I just feel that heat, and so if you want to come up, we can pray for y'all.
Can I get prayer first?